Here's one of our favorite people. He is the former managing general of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New Jersey Devils. And he has a long resume in the game. And now with the New York Islanders, the first place.
Oh, I know.
New York Islanders.
Hotter than a pistol.
Here's Lou Lamoriello. Well, how are you?
I'm very well, and I was sitting here listening to you fellas for a couple of minutes, and what I said to myself was, some things never change.
That's why you miss us, Lou.
Yeah, just nonsense, right?
I sure do.
Yeah, just a bunch of nonsense when Shannon is on here. Holy cow, your team's playing great, huh? Coaching change, probably the biggest change. So tell me what you see, what you like about your new team. I like a lot.
Well, first of all, you had mentioned the coach. The coach, Barry Trotz, and his staff have just done a tremendous job. And the players have been as receptive as you could ask them to be and committed. Certainly when change comes, you never know what to expect. But, entirely the players have bought into it, and they've responded to what's being asked of them, and they're getting results. But we know it's early in the season, but where they are right now, they deserve to be.
So did you sit down and have a conversation with the players, kind of tell them what you expect, or did you leave that to Barry?
Well, I think, Barry and I, and no different than any other organization, it has to be a universal message. It has to be a joint partnership that you're on the same page. So, whatever interaction is there, whether it be with me or with Barry, it's the same message. So it's really one person talking. It might be a different voice at a different time.
Before you took this organization over, Lou, I think you would agree the biggest issues were on the blue line and in goal, and the biggest improvements on this team right now are on the blue line and in goal. And what has happened and how guys like Robin Leonard and Thomas Greiss have been able to play so well. Is there something you can pinpoint with those two gentlemen and how well they played between the pipes?
Well, first of all, I think that the structure that Barry and his staff have put in, certainly when you have a structure in the defensive zone and in center ice starting there, there's a certain discipline with reference to everybody knowing where everybody's at, and I think that allows the goal defense to be better because of, they have A, B, and C, and as a result of that, the goaltenders know where everybody's in. We did not know anything about a lot of players. In fact, we're still finding out about them, both coming in independently new, and you've seen them play. You've seen things that you like. You've seen things that you don't like. But until you get them, you really don't know. Collectively, they've worked together. Robin has played well. I think Robin, what has transpired with him is that he's got his life in order first, everything followed from that. And Thomas Greiss has played well. So, right now, when things are going good, everybody feels good. But we all know this is a marathon. This is a long season. But getting points right now is very important.
In your time, you had your own goalie guru. Jacques Caron was at the top of that list. But Barry's had his own with him in Nashville and Washington, and Mitch Korn. You would have known Mitch very well in your USA hockey days. But Mitch has really made a difference for this team, hasn't he?
Well, I think it's not only Mitch. I think Pirro, who we brought on from the Mollies, who I had an opportunity to see him work and how he communicates with players over the last 3 years. And Mitch is not in here full time. And the way Mitch and he and Chris Terreri have worked together from day one in training camp has just been exceptional. There's a total commitment in that position. no different than Barry and myself. The three have one voice. They agree upon everything they're doing. And, you know, we all know how important goaltending is. But Mitch is certainly comes in with a tremendous resume and success in the National Hockey League with some exceptional goaltenders. So, you know, you cannot dismiss that. And, you know, players listen. And Pirro and Chris, too, with the success they've had. So we've been very fortunate there. And they're good people. They communicate well. And our goaltenders have been receptive to this point.
With Lou Lamoriello, the general manager of the New York Islanders, I want to talk a little bit about your plans for the next couple of years. There's lots of speculation about where games will be played in the years to come. Will you go back to the Coliseum on any kind of on a full-time basis, part-time basis? And some of that may be up in the air. Let me start with this, though, Lou. I mean, attendance has not been great for the Islanders the last few years. Has this quick start done anything to invigorate the marketplace yet?
Well, they tell me the ticket sales are better going forward. And, you know, we are this year, Bob, going to play half the schedule at the Coliseum.
Right.
And I know the ticket sales for the Coliseum are just, you know, outstanding. You know, so, you know, there should be, you know, a change in that area. It all depends on the opponents you play to here, the night that you play. There's so much going on.
Sure.
But I could not be more pleased with the cooperation that's been given from the Barclays Center, who also run the Coliseum, on trying to make everything as good as it possibly can be. Ownership has been just outstanding with the support that's needed to have success and also treating the players right. They just finished the offices at our practice facility. Last year they put in the facility for the players. I'd say it's second to none in the National Hockey League. It was a real shock to me when I saw it for the first time, you know, in the latter part of the summer. So the infrastructure is beginning. The infrastructure is there. And the plans for the new facility at the Belmont are real, you know, breaking ground sometime after the first year. So, you know, things are very bright here on the island.
Would you like to see the team play all their games up in Nassau County next season, Lou?
I don't know. I'd have to wait until at the end of the season to make that evaluation on, you know, what we, you know, it's only 5-10 minutes from our practice facility at the Coliseum, and they have renovated it. They spent, you know, some $300 million over the past year, and they've also, you know, renovated the complex for both the home and away teams there. So it's certainly not where it was in the past, and John, what you were used to seeing. So it's certainly going to be a better area as far as the facilities for the players and also for the fans. The seating, you know, everything has been upgraded, but we'll just have to wait and see. I think it's too early to say one way or the other.
But realistically, though, Lou, you in your time with the Devils and even your time here with the Maple Leafs, you were a master at making sure you put in the certain dates of the schedule to the league. I would think you'd have more control of that at the Coliseum than you would at Barclays, correct?
You know, like I said, I'm just working with these with the people here for the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have been exceptionally cooperative. You know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, we put our dates in, but as you know, John, when you put in some 65, 70 dates and you need four, but you need 41 good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to ask you about a couple of players, local kids, Ontario boys, that were high picks for the Islanders before you were there that are now in Bridgeport, but they came with huge resumes and have struggled to get to the NHL level, and that's Michael Del Cole and Josh Hosang. And they both have unbelievable talent. Do you see them being part of the solution for your team at some point?
Well, you know, they neither one of them had a great year last year, and neither one had an exceptional training camp. But as we speak right now, I feel very good because they're both playing extremely well in Bridgeport. In fact, Bridgeport, you know, won its fifth in a row at home and three in a row. This morning they had a 10:30 game, and both players have worked very hard at doing what's necessary to be better. They know they didn't have a great camp. So, you know, they'll get that opportunity because there's no excuses. It's a whole new, regime here, coaches and management. So, you know, it's on them right now. We can't look to what happened last year. And certainly, you know, when they're ready, they'll get a chance. It's up to them, as we've said. Players tell you when they're ready and when they should be here, and you know they'll have to do that. But I have no complaints with them right now and how they've prepared themselves and worked during training camp. It didn't go as well as they would like it to, and I'm sure they get in exhibition games. But right now they are playing well for us.
You know, you always downplay your interaction with players. I do know that on obviously the Devils, there are guys that are loyal to you to the death. And there are some players on the Maple Leafs that I would describe as similar. How do you deal with players like that? Do you have a lot of personal interaction with them?
What do you mean?
Well, like with a guy like
players or in general?
Well, I think with guys like Michael and Josh who you know have been disappointments for the franchise. Do you have lots of contact with them or some contact with them personally?
Well, I think, first of all, Chris in Bridgeport is in constant contact with them. And during training camp and prospect camp, certainly you interact because, yes, they were high picks. Obviously, there's potential there or they would not have been. And, you know, what has transpired? So, yes, there is communication because you want the best out of the player for themselves. And if they get it for themselves, they'll get it for the team, but in a team way. But they both have talent. They both have skill, and that's something you cannot teach. Now you have to get everything else going. But there's always communication, John, up to a certain point. But you have to do it. You have to actuate it. You can't, you know, I've always said playing with potential is the easiest way to get you-know-what kicked.
With Lou Lamoriello. Do me a favor. Give me a comparison between Babcock and Trotz, both successful coaches. One of them won a Stanley Cup last year. You spent 3 years with Mike. I don't even know how to compare the two in terms of philosophy and style. Tell us a little bit about the differences or the similarities between the two of them.
Well, first of all, I have tremendous respect for both individuals. Mike I was with for 3 years, and Barry, certainly I've watched him, but now I've been with him for a few months. Without question, number one, they care about the players. They care about their well-being, and they're committed to their profession. Their work ethic is both second to none. Their preparation, their dedication, and, you know, they both are a pleasure to work with because of that. There's never a gray area. You know, if there is something that you might disagree with, it's a conversation, and there's a solution. It doesn't become a problem. So both are extremely similar. And I've been very fortunate to have some great people in the coaching area over the years. And, you know, these are two quality human beings and no question quality coach, two of the best in the business. So, you know, I have nothing but the highest esteem for both of them.
Would you say they're philosophically similar, Lou? Do they operate in a similar pattern? Are there objectives? I mean, the objective, obviously, at the end of the day is to win, but the methodology that they use to get to that point. Is there a similarity among coaches?
Well, there's always constant that are similar, but there's different ways of approaching it. And sometimes people misrepresent or misunderstand, you know, the way, you know, it's delivered.
Yeah.
They're all similar. When you're of the level that they're at and the success that they've had, success speaks for itself. We're not talking about two apprentices right now.
That's
we're
right.
talking about, you know, two of the more and most successful coaches in the history of the game. So, you know, there's nothing but positive. But what I can speak to when a question is asked is away from what the media or the fans see. We're talking about two people that you enjoy going to dinner with, you enjoy having a conversation with, you enjoy spending time with families. So when you can say those things, and you also can compliment them on their profession and their vocation, I don't know what more you can say that isn't positive.
Speaking of positive, speaking of relationships and the highest level, this weekend, Martin Brodeur goes into the Hockey Hall of Fame. It must be a very proud moment for you.
Without question, you know, the number of years spending with Marty and, you know, the professionalism that, you know, he brought to the game in every area, you know, has just been something special. And to watch the success that he's had and the records that were broken and the humility that he kept through the whole process, I don't ever remember a time when, no matter how the game went, that he wasn't accessible to the media, accessible to the fans. And, you know, he's someone that is a role model, you know, for players to see, and the unselfishness. All he cared about is winning. He never really cared about records. Certainly, you enjoy them when they come, but it was secondary. I said on the night that his jersey was retired, and I said there was no one better who sort of practiced that the logo in front is more important than the name in the back than Marty Brodeur.
You talked about accountability, though, Lou, and I've seen this in too many places with you. You've always made your players accountable. That's part of what makes them great players.
Well, I think that they have to be receptive to what you asked of them. And I think in anything in life, to be successful, you have to work at the things that you might not like to do. And I think sometimes all of us need to be, you know, held to a level. And if you are the competitor that, you know, one feels you are, it's a secondary thought process. There's no issue with it. And if you don't want to be accountable and, you know, be a part of that, then you shouldn't be here.
Lou, you were always generous with your time when you were with New Jersey, certainly when you were here in Toronto, and we're pleased to catch up with you now on the island and hopefully have a chance to talk to you later on in the season. And we wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Look forward to it, and I really enjoy listening to both of you when together. Really, you guys are something else.
Well,
I'm not sure what that else is.
I'm stumped now. Thank you, Lou. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Thanks, fellas.
See ya.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Lou Lamoriello.